The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776, just like 409 did. It says Probu probably means bear food in India.
Good. I don't speak Indian.
I don't either.
Call Raheel, yeah. See what he says.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it means, bear food. But,
Raheel Ramazalni. Did I say
he's
that right?
Not Indian.
He's not Indian. His wife's what? Indian.
Oh.
No, he's Pakistani.
Oh.
Remember he keeps calling his wife Trickster?
Okay. So he doesn't trust Indians.
I guess not.
Well.
So he probably knew this was coming.
Yeah.
Shame.
India, we have a problem.
Problem. Oh, do not say those things. You're most vile. Most vile, E.G. Hoffman. Okay, so every now and then something pops up on my next door thing that I just kind of go, really? Here's the headline on this one. Coyote roaming around clay in Live Oak area.
Guy, that's interesting.
Guy says he took his dog out around 1:30 and there was a coyote about 25 feet away staring at him and not moving. And he yelled at it and just kind of stopped a block away and watched him. And so last seen around Clay and Nagel.
Are you sure it's not just a raggedy-ass
it's
dog?
It's probably just a raggedy-ass dog. But he says, you know, I'm just going by what's posted, right?
Right.
I have not seen the coyote. I do that area over there. There's a jogging trail that I go through all the time, but not at 1:30 in the morning because I would get shot or killed or raped or worse. So. Right. You know, but I have not seen the coyote. I'm just reporting that somebody saw a coyote.
Okay.
So, kind of a weird place for a coyote. Maybe out in your neighborhood, I would expect coyotes.
Even like where I live, it's still pretty urban.
Yeah. But you're not like, don't you have like a couple of, there's a couple like little forest areas like there are by the track that they haven't cleaned out yet. I guess they built stuff there now.
Even that, you got to go a few miles to get there.
Yeah. Here he says, Prabhu means dumbass. Yeah. So, a lot of people, somebody said, if I can find that one, the Prabhu probably was one of the textures on the show.
Sounds about right.
Mark said that basically, that the text line regular. The texts have been better mainly because I just ignore the dickweeds.
Right.
So, and there's plenty of them. There's a good number.
They'll always be there.
Okay, there's my 13 horse, Eskimo Kisses.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, it's one of my four horses in the field.
Okay.
I have two favorites, two long shots. One of the two long shots I think will get in there. It's either going to be Wonder Godot or it's going to be Eskimo Kisses.
What about Monogamy Girl?
Monogamy Girl.
Oh, no. Is that a different thing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm good with Monogamy Girl. That's one of the ones I used. I think she's second favorite, though, so I didn't get the price I was hoping for on her, but I thought with that 14 post, they might say. Oh.
So you've got four horses. That if any one of the four wins,
no, I've got a four horse exacta box. So I need two of the four to be first and second in any order.
Okay.
So if it's the two favorites, I'm not going to make any money. But if I can get one of my two long shots in there, even with the favorites, it'll pay okay.
Okay.
So that's the plan.
Like when you say it won't pay any money, like you'll still
it'll
profit.
Pay. Yeah, I mean, I might get my money back.
Okay.
If I'm lucky, if it finishes 10-14, I'll be lucky to get my money back. But if I get 10-5 or even 14-5 or the 13 in there, then I'll do real well.
Okay.
So that's the thought process behind it.
Well, I wish you luck, Fred.
Disco said there was a possum by her apartment, and her neighbor thought it was a cat. We did have a possum in our neighborhood for
possum
a while.
Less absurd than a coyote, yeah. I would say.
Yeah, we had one that would go
in an urban area.
We had one that we would come in our yard early in the morning sometimes, and then one time the possum came into the yard while I was taking the dog out at like 5:30, and have not seen the possum since. That did not go well for the possum.
No.
Because the dog's like, oh, I got something to play with, and man, I'm just trying to hold her back, and that thing took off. And, you know, haven't seen him since. But yeah, possums and big rats. I've seen big rats around some of those old warehouses.
I would imagine.
That look like possums because they're so damn big. But yeah, coyote. Eh. The, I guess the weirdest thing is there was a really big hawk that was sitting on my balcony one morning.
Are you sure it wasn't a falcon?
No, it wasn't a falcon. It was a hawk. Because okay. It was like, so that kind of was strange. I don't know what he was doing there. But, yeah. So, what'd you think of LeBron last night? Toronto's his bitch, right?
I mean,
that's basically it. Sorry, Raptor.
God, the Raptors, they just haven't changed. Everyone tried to convince me that this was like a new, different...
time out.
No, not you, but like...
I'm about to say.
Yeah, I mean, let's remember, by the way, the Cavs were 11-point underdogs in game one of that series.
Let's also remember the Cavs were a plus number to win the series, which I'm holding a ticket on.
Yeah. Listen, I
don't tell my wife that.
Well, they're now like they're minus 4.5 or 5 for game three.
Yeah.
So they've said, okay, Vegas said, all right, you got us. We were wrong. but yeah, it's I don't see that team getting over the mental block. And that's what it seems like to me.
I just don't think they're built for the playoffs, man. And it goes back to the same teams that Jerry built over in Denver. Same kind of teams. They win a bunch of games in the regular season, couldn't do anything in the playoffs. And I just don't think they're built to be a very good playoff team. And you know, and basically running into Cleveland every year.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And you know what? The best thing that happened to LeBron yesterday.
The very best thing. The tremendous thing.
Most tremendous thing wasn't even during his game. After the game, he sat down and he watched the Celtics beat the Sixers again and go up 2-0 in that series.
Gosh.
And if LeBron runs into the Celtics in the Eastern Finals...
Yep, they're going to the Finals again.
You can crown him.
Crown his ass!
Crown his ass!
Yeah, that Celtics game, what were they, down 25 at one point? You know what's scary? Is if you're Toronto, this was your chance. Because I think Philadelphia is going to be somebody you have to deal with for the next several years.
Yep. And who knows where LeBron's going to go?
Yeah, I mean, Boston is...
You know where I know he's not going? Toronto.
Yeah. Oh, if I'm Toronto, I'd beg him. I'd be like, please, please. But...
I'm not coming up there to play with you hosers.
Oh, geez, no way. And I think that Celtics team, once they get Kyrie Irving back, and they're going to be really good.
Oh, yeah.
They're already good without... They're missing two guys. So I think this was Toronto's chance, and... Yeah, not going to happen. I'd say almost 0% chance they come back.
Yeah. I think that they had their chance and they basically choked it away. And that's, I don't know. I just don't, it's hard for me to picture LeBron losing now 4 out of 6 or 4 out of 5 to the Raptors. I just can't.
Yeah,
I can't imagine it'll happen.
They just don't do that in the playoffs.
They don't.
And it's I wanted to see the Raptors do something just because Toronto sports fans are great and they get so behind that team, and it'd have been kind of cool to see them get there and get whacked by the Warriors, but it's not going to happen.
Well, the Celtics, you know, they are the team that when healthy, which you know, let's presume that they're healthy next year. And they've got, Kyrie Irving back at 100%. And they've got Gordon Hayward back at 100%. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown continue to mature. That's going to be a good team. That's going to be a really good team. But for now, the Celtics are totally beatable. And it's just, if this is his last year in Cleveland, I think LeBron's going out with another Eastern Conference championship.
Yeah, I saw a story that said... that the Rockets might not be all that interested in LeBron.
Oh, please.
It's like, get out of here with that. You know what? That's what it's like. Oh, they think they're good enough right now. Well, guess what? When you get blown out by Golden State, then that story changes. I think tonight, I mean, we're at right now, as of today, yeah, you're going to say stuff like that. Oh, we think we're good enough. We think we're good enough. We won 65 games. Come see me in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Let's just go to
was
break.
That part of the, no, was that part of the song?
Let's just go to break.
I don't know. All right, well, I'm about to go watch the Kentucky Oaks.
Okay.
Because they're going to the gate. We'll take a quick break.
You all right, John? Thumbs up?
Yep.
You okay?
All right.
All right, well, do you need some of that vodka that we had in the
nope.
promo? You'd be all right with that. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Still, bad things. It's a lot of bad things that they wish and I wish.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz.
Fred's happy.
Yeah. I boxed four horses in the Exacta. They ran 1, 2, 3, 4, and I got my long shot in, one of my long shots in second. And she should have won the race. I'm kind of curious if they'll actually take a look at this because it looked like the 14 horse did come out. So I wound up a second favorite beating a...
I knew Monogamy Girl was going to win all along.
You know, because that's... Monogamy girls are what we're looking for.
Yeah. That's what every guy wants.
That's what they want to marry. Not necessarily what...
Wasn't that a Madonna song? We're living in a monogamy world and I'm a monogamy girl. No, John?
Mm.
John doesn't remember that song.
He just remembers Like a Virgin.
Yeah, you know, he does. Because he lived it for get there 25 years.
Julian said, just listen to the podcast, Fred. Great stuff. Thanks, man. And it's that's up on pregame.com. I tweeted it out a link earlier, so if you want to go check that out, wait until after the show. Matt said, great freaking call in the Oaks. We should have done a superfecta box. Yeah, well, I should have done the try, but then the other favorite ran third. So I think I'm going to be okay with this. I got a $10 exacta, so I feel like that should pay okay in a 14-horse field with the second favorite beating a long shot. So we'll see how it pays.
They post the payouts here pretty shortly?
Yeah, well, I'm waiting to see. And, again, I don't know if there's going to be an inquiry here, but I don't think there is now. It doesn't look like it.
It didn't, like, in when they showed the replay, it didn't look like there was a
well,
whole lot going
on. Well, I needed to see it from the front. Something kind of weird happened because it looked like the five was going by, and then I don't know if they came together or what. So it's hard to tell from that angle, but it doesn't look like they're actually doing anything, so...
Well, let's talk about the games tonight. First of all, I'm annoyed, and I know a Rockets fan probably isn't. Well, maybe they are. Like, the fact that the Rockets are playing the late game again.
Yeah, it kind of sucks for me because I have to write my little five observations thing. I
mean, you don't even want to observe?
No, I don't want to. It's going to be late, and I'd like to have a few drinks. So I may or may not do that tonight because, I mean, how many people are going to be up long enough to read that?
Yeah, that's true.
So,
Warriors play at 7. I don't know. I mean, it's Anthony Davis versus the world there, and he's really, really great, but he's not enough.
No.
I think the
Pelicans win one at home.
Okay. You think they win tonight?
I think they get tonight, and then they get blown out in game 4, and then that's kind of the end of it.
See, I think they more likely to win in game 4
maybe
than tonight.
But I think they win one there.
I think the Jazz are probably feeling pretty confident right now. You know, they won one and going into a really tough home court environment. If the Jazz walk out of there with a split, they're going to be feeling pretty damn good, right?
Yeah, I think now they're showing the head on. Let's see. Oh, she does come out and bother her a little bit, but I don't think that's enough to make a change. I mean, still not bothering her that much. No, I think the Rockets will come out and put it on the Jazz tonight.
Oh, you think they're going to crush them?
Yeah, I do. I think
the Jazz aren't the kind of team that gets crushed.
Yeah, they did all year against the Rockets. I think the Rockets will make some adjustments, and it'll be good.
Yeah. You'd also agree, though, that the Jazz are playing better ball now than they did most
of
the season.
Yeah, but I look at this matchup, and I don't see you're not going to let a white guy stand wide open for three-pointers again in another game. You're going to have some, you're going to adjust to that.
Yeah, I heard so many people saying it's like they're shocked that you know, somehow this dude is hitting threes, and it's like, no,
he's done it for 2 years now.
That's pretty much all. Yeah. He's got one job And it's to stand out there and chuck up threes, and he does it very effectively, Joe Ingles. And I know he looks like a he looks like Toby from The Office, but that guy can shoot. And I don't outside of shooting, I don't know if there's a whole lot of his game that's worth, you know, talking about. But he's a 44% 3-point shooter.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's good.
You know how many 44% 3-point shooters the Rockets have? I'll give you a hint. It starts with Z and ends in row. None. So
wait a minute. Z, none. I'm confused.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Okay.
None.
Nobody.
So they got to do a better job on him. But really, I think the reason they lost that game is because the Jazz pushed the Rockets off the 3-point line, and the Rockets didn't adjust. And I mean, I'm sure they're going to come out and they've got a better game plan for it now. But yeah, it was a frustrating game for them because and the Jazz are they're really good defensively. They're tough to deal with on that end of the floor. And if they get some offense, it ain't easy to beat them.
Okay, there is an objection here, as I predicted there might be. And they can't do anything but help me because all they would do is put the
worst case scenario.
Yeah,
you win more money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think to be perfectly honest, I don't think there's enough there.
Like if it was your horse, you would be pissed off if they changed.
That, oh
right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I either way,
like if the 5 had finished first and the 14 had done that to the 5, yeah, you'd be like, oh, that's not enough.
Yeah, yeah, I would be pissed. So I don't think there's any way that
so they shouldn't change it. You're saying
no, I don't think they should change it. I mean, if the horse kind of quit running because of that bump. That's just race riding there. I mean, if you knock a horse off stride and change the outcome, that's one thing. But it's $1 million race, so they have to object.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
You have to try this. So, you know, no matter what, it's going to work out for me. I don't care. It's going to be a good score. Be a great score if we get they flip it. But I don't think they should, and even though it would benefit me.
Jazz 28-13 at home this season. That's pretty good. Salty. Yeah. 21-20 on the road. Or no, 20-21 on the road. So the fact that they won one here is like,
yeah,
that's a little bit of
But I think the Rockets will bounce back and take care of business here. And if they don't, it gets real interesting.
I will say this. I'd much rather, if the Rockets are going to split, I'd much rather them get the win out of the way. Because if you get down 2-1,
yeah, suddenly,
I can see them start to panic.
Well, because we know what they are. You know, we've got playoff James, we've got playoff Paul, we've got playoff D'Antoni.
Yeah, and that's what people will start talking about, and they don't need that.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I think tonight's game's a really important game for the Rockets.
Yeah, but I think they'll do fine.
All right.
So, I guess this is going to take a while, but either way, I'm going to sit on a nice ticket.
Yeah, who cares?
I'm happy. I'm happy. It's a good day. This is a good way to start the weekend because, considering if it pays about what I think it's going to pay. We'll be all right. I'll have some play money for some quarter horses tonight. I'll have some play money for the Derby tomorrow.
There you go.
It's all good. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, jockeys look so serious when they're looking at this.
They are serious.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? There was another bump earlier that they didn't show the second time. Yeah, he actually bumped her twice. So I don't know. It's still not enough. You can't do that. Oh, well.
$1 million, jeez.
Yeah, well, it's $600,000 to the winner. You definitely have to.
What's second place get?
I think 300. Oh. So that's a pretty significant amount of money.
A nice lick.
Yeah.
God, you know the.
They left it. They left it.
Okay, I was gonna say if they change it, would the owner of that horse would he run out of the dugout like a guy whose pitcher just got ejected?
Yeah, yeah. He'd have been pissed.
He'd look like George Brett at the Pine Tar game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it definitely was the right call to leave it. I'm of the opinion that you don't change a big race unless there's a serious infraction, and that wasn't serious.
Like if the jockey had reached over and kicked the other horse.
Well, one time at Churchill on Derby Day, a jockey reached out to hit his horse with a whip, and he hit the other horse in the face.
Oh boy,
yeah, that was an automatic disqualification.
Damn.
And so those kind of things.
Disqualification, or you just got bumped behind that horse?
He got bumped behind that horse.
Okay.
I mean, but when you get disqualified in a race, you get moved behind whatever horses you bothered. So if you bother 8 horses and win the race, you get sent back to 9th. Or if a horse that you bothered finishes last, you get to be last. So this case, they left it. No big deal. But the 14 would have just been 2nd instead of 1st. All right, we're going to take a quick break. RJ Bell, my podcast partner, is up next. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and you know what that music means. It is time for the gambling guru of the universe, man who I did a great podcast with that's on pregame.com on the Derby.
I heard it was okay.
It was fantastic. And and RJ, we just gave the people the exact in the Oaks today. So follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. What's going on, RJ?
You know, sometimes, Fred, and maybe this is a lesson you're going to have to learn, is when you're shooting for the stars on that stairway to heaven, sometimes people down below are going to be dragging at your feet, like AJ. I'm not saying
what?
AJ exact. I'm saying like AJ.
You're calling me a hater?
No. I said Fred's climbing the stars, and you're pulling on his feet. That's not a hater.
You're saying I'm holding back Fred?
Well, didn't you just say his podcast wasn't any good?
No, I said I heard it was all right.
No hate there.
Jeez.
I'm joking.
Anything. I've been carrying Fred's ass for the last 10 years damn near.
This is like on Almost Famous when the plane's ready to go down.
Yeah, you're about to start a real big fight in here, RJ.
Well, wait 10 minutes and then I'm sure the listeners want to hear me, and then you guys can go at it.
All right, we'll deal with this after. Obviously, the NBA odds change like the wind. Basically, every game will change it. And Fred and I were talking in the last segment. I think the best thing that could be happening if you're a Cavs future holder, at least the Cavs to win the Eastern Conference, is the Celtics are up 2-0 on the Sixers. And I can't imagine that the Cavs would prefer to see the Sixers over the Celtics. I think the Cavs want to play the Celtics because the Celtics just don't have any bodies. But somehow they're up 2-0 on the Sixers, who I thought were maybe going to win the Eastern Conference. How have the odds adjusted with that 2-0 start?
And you make a good point. When you have wins and losses in a 7-game series, there's two reasons that the odds in the series would move. One is, hey, we've reevaluated the team. And the other reason is, oh, look, now the math says the team only has to win 3 games and the other team has to win 4, let's say, after the victory in game 1. So I'll give you a good example. In game 1, the Raptors were favored by 7.5. Typical home court advantage in the NBA is 4. So that's saying that in that spot, understanding there were rest issues, and you can debate half point here or there, but in general, it was saying 3.5 points better, the Raptors. Now, in game 3, when for sure you would think the Raptors are going to be max motivated because it's a borderline must win, the Cavs are favored by 4.5. So it's gone from the Raptors being 3.5 points better to the Cavs being a half point better, right? Because the line should be 4, typically, if they were even. So the fact Cleveland's 4.5 means they're a little bit better. So Toronto was clearly better, and the series price entering the series was Toronto minus 190, Cleveland plus 170. Now, Toronto had home court, but home court's only minus 150 in a 7-game series. So it really was Toronto clearly better 2 games ago, and now the market's saying Cleveland is clearly better. So the change in the future odds in the series, which now Cleveland is minus 800, stems from two places. The fact that Cleveland only needs to win 2 more games, and the fact that Cleveland is now perceived to be the better team.
Well, does my point hold true that the Cavs now are becoming more of a favorite, seeing the Celtics beating the Sixers ahead of them, like kind of making the road to the finals easier for them?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you look at the title odds, so right now, if you look at the series odds, the 76ers are plus 110, Boston's minus 120, which is right there at 50-50, with the Celtics like 52% or 54% based on those numbers. Okay, so let's call that a coin flip. Now, if you look at the title odds, Cleveland, or let's go Celtics and Sixers. Celtics are 40-1, and the 76ers are 22-1. So how you got to win three series from here. How can you be 50-50 in a series and one of the teams be 22-1 and the other team be 40-1? That means they think the Sixers would have a significantly better chance to continue winning if they do win this series. But at some point, you got to say, hey, the Sixers were 70 days ago. So 2 months and 10 days ago, the 76ers were 110-1. So 100 to win the title. So 100 would have won you $11,000. The fact they've surged is driven by two things. One, that amazing run at the end of the regular season. But we did this on our podcast, on our radio show. If you look at the teams they played, not only were they bad, but the leading scorers were guys you had never heard of. So they were playing their lesser guys. Still nice to win, give them credit. But I thought it was a big question mark. And then they had a heck of a round one, which I think everyone started believing like crazy. But now, do we think those four wins in round one, we might be overreacting to a little bit? Because I'll tell you this, I mean, Boston's clearly been the better team. I mean, these have not been fluky games so far. I mean, you can say a comeback's a little fluky, but if anything, I'd make the opposite side. If you're down after getting a split midway through the game and you still fight back, that means you're never out of it. So, got to give. If you like old school basketball, if you like someone who cares about the mechanics of the game and all of those things other than jumping out of the gym, got to love Stevens, got to love the Celtics.
RJ Bell is our guest. So how much did the Super Bowl odds and the win totals change after the draft when in the NFL? Was there do we see any actual movement, or is Vegas pretty much left things the way they were?
Pretty much the way they were. And the concept, I think we talked about it last week, so I'll say it succinctly, is all those mock, or forget the mock drafts, right? But all the draft grades or thumbs up or thumbs down, what you got is people who know less NFL most of the time and certainly less about the individual teams are grading people that know more about the NFL typically and about their teams for sure. And anytime you've got someone who's not as good at something grading someone who's better, you got to be very suspect of that. And I think we see the odds really don't adjust, though the public and the narrative certainly does. And you can take advantage of that, especially if a team gets a really good draft grade that already has some momentum. You can see those lines or odds move, and I think that's a move to look to fade.
I thought it was kind of interesting in the win totals in your note here that half the league is basically within one win of 500.
Yeah, so win total 16 games. Regular season, how many games are they going to win amongst the 16? 16 of the teams, half, have a win total between 7 and 9. And we know turnovers, one kick return, one fourth down, you make it instead of miss it, a 7-point play. That swings games. And it just takes one or two of those plays to swing a season. I was on Atlanta radio a couple hours ago, and I said, I'm not sure the Falcons weren't the best team in the NFL last year. Are you? Because what I know for sure is they were better than 50% at the Super Bowl champions in the first or division round of the playoff. They were in Philadelphia, inside the 10, four cracks. The in-game line was better than 50%.
Yeah.
Now, if they win that game, are we sure they don't win the next two? I mean, obviously we're not sure, but do we even feel strongly they wouldn't have won the next two?
Well, this is weird.
I don't know.
This is weird for me because I've been high on Atlanta the last couple of years, and Fred hasn't been. So this is probably a situation where I agree with you, and Fred thinks you're insane.
No,
Fred was hating on you.
On me. He was trying to pull at my heels.
but honestly, AJ, the sabermetric guys agreed with you. For the last 2 years, the Falcons had the best net yards per player, one of the best, and their record was never as good, even though they made the playoffs both years.
See, my theory on that is they weren't a very good red zone team, especially after Kyle Shanahan left, because the year before when he was there, they improved that and got to the Super Bowl.
Or was it that just there was only, what, 8 or 9 plays that really dictated that the whole season? It's the whole thing. Remember the way we used to talk about clutch, where just nonstop it was like, oh, yeah, George Gervin, he's not clutch, but Larry Bird is, or so-and-so is. And then when the math guys got involved, they said, you know, there is no clutch. We look at all the numbers, and there's not. Now, we can debate that, but that's what the serious math. So let me ask you guys, do you believe there's clutch?
Oh, I do. I believe there's guys who perform better under pressure than some. They, like, some guys perform under better under pressure than others.
And you know, AJ, the math says that's just random variance.
I know. That I disagree
as humans, with it, we're trying to apply logic to.
Oh, that's fine. Right? You're saying I believe in magic?
Well, I don't know, because I'll tell you this. I think that probably with 80 or 85% of people, there isn't clutch. I do, and maybe this is just me trying to split the baby and you know, not be too far on either side, but I think it was like 5% of people or 7.5%, whatever, that really struggle with it. And then I think there's like 5 or 7.5% that really don't, that they just have that. You look at Joe Flacco, and again, I don't like Flacco. I don't think he's even he might be an average quarterback today. I think he's probably a little below average. But you can tell his heartbeats does not speed up at any point. And to me, that's a good thing in the clutch. And he's actually been a fairly clutch quarterback. And some guys just, you could tell they get really nervous. So I think most people are in that big middle. But I think there's some extremes on either side.
RJ Bell is our guest. I'm still kind of, I will say the one thing I didn't necessarily disagree about the Falcons last year, although I thought they had every opportunity in that game in Philadelphia. But I also think maybe if it's not clutch, there were some opportunities there where maybe they just weren't as effective in the red zone. Julio Jones was shut down pretty well down there, and that's where they tend to go. So, I mean, I thought they were really good. But if you look at it, there were 4 teams last year that if things had gone right, they could have won the Super Bowl. And you could throw them, the Rams and the Vikings all in the same box. And I think, you know, if things had gone right for any one of those teams, they could have won it.
Oh, that's interesting. See, I made a list like that earlier, but I specifically left the Rams out. I felt like this Rams team last year. Now, just to be clear, different team this year, and they've obviously, and they've been bet more than any team. Right now, the Rams have been bet more in the futures markets than any NFL team. That said, I thought Goff was overrated last year. Big upgrade from year one. But I don't think it was, you know, people were like, you know, near Pro Bowl. And it's like, man, you look at when he was in control, first down play actions, all that, did great. But third downs, when they knew he was going to throw, horrible. I mean, I am going to predict, and again, I could be very wrong on this one. I'm going to predict Goff is more of an Andy Dalton in the long run, which is a very competent NFL quarterback. But I don't think he's even going to be in the top 12 is my guess. And if he's not... Okay.
Well, I don't disagree with you because I didn't believe he could even play in the NFL when he got drafted, and he's already surpassed every expectation I could have had just by having the season he did last year. But I just don't see it as sustainable. I think he can be a decent quarterback. I've always thought, well, maybe he can be Ryan Tannehill then. But Andy Dalton is basically Ryan Tannehill to me. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't think he's going to end up being great.
Now, check this out, guys. Speaking of quarterbacks, I'm going to read all 32 teams, but it's going to be fun because I'm going to break it up into 2 groups. And this is reading from the most expected wins to the least expected wins. But I'm going to stop at that about the halfway mark. But I want you to think about the quarterback on these teams and how good they are. Are they potentially a Super Bowl winning quarterback on their best day? Now, let's be candid. What the Eagles did last year kind of throws that on its head because the Eagles' backup quarterback last year had one of the 5 best Super Bowl performances ever. I mean, if you just look at what Foles did, it was one of the 5 best Super Bowl performances by a quarterback. So the idea that he wasn't up to it as a backup, and it throws out, hey, if your backup can win, who can't win? Yeah, if somehow, some way your backup has an all-time great day, and we've never seen that before. So let's set that aside as a potential aberration, a fluke, because otherwise we've seen you need to have an elite quarterback play in an elite way to get and win the Super Bowl. Now check out how good these quarterbacks are. Patriots, Steelers, now I'm going in order now. Eagles with obviously Wentz back and a backup. Vikings, we can put some questions on it. They just spent massive money because they think this guy can win it for them.
Well, do you, Packers, would you agree they at least have an upgrade over what they had last year on paper?
Yeah, on now, when you say paper, that throws me. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. When you say on paper, it throws me, though. If you're saying what I would expect from them in 2018, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Would
you expect Kirk Cousins' average season to be better than Case Keenum's average season?
That is a sharp way to say, and the answer is yes.
Yes.
But if you ask me over under QBR for Cousins this year versus last year, Keenum, I would take under for sure.
Okay, that's fair. Because
remember, Keenum had the third best QBR in the league last year. All right, so Vikings, yes. Packers, obviously. Now we're going in order. Rams, big question mark, I think. Saints for sure. Chargers for sure. Jacksonville, legitimate question mark. Falcons, yes. Panthers, yes. I mean, MVP a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Cowboys, yes.
Cowboys, yes.
With how? Oh, yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott can win a Super Bowl.
You saw him play last year?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did. I mean, wow, I don't see that. And again, we can debate each of these or some of these, but look at the gist of this. And we're down to the last couple. Texans, obviously healthy. Watson showed that. And then lastly, the 49ers. All right, that is the top, like, 16. Now I'm going to quickly read the bottom 16. Chiefs, Raiders, good quarterback exception. Ravens, Titans, Seattle, good quarterback exception. Lions, okay, good quarterback. Bengals, Broncos, Redskins, Giants, Bucks, Bears, Colts. But Colts is a huge question mark with Luck and his health. Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Cardinals, Browns.
Man,
go ahead.
What I'm hearing is like when you name these, when you go through these teams and I hear these teams like Seattle, Detroit, and Indianapolis. I don't have the actual win totals right in front. I mean, I guess I could put them in front of me, but I feel like there's got to be value there because those three guys, those three quarterbacks, I feel like it could easily put their team over expected win totals easily, just based on how good they are.
And I think it's possible for sure. And remember, Seattle's 8, and okay. I think that if at 7.5, I'm going to look to go over actually. If I can find it eventually. Raiders are 8. I don't like them at all. I think Gruden's a problem and a half, to be honest with you. And Colts, I think it's all about his health. Because if he's not healthy, then the win total should be 3.5.
And what are they at?
And if he
6.5.
And the Colts is 6.5.
Okay.
So that's a low one. But think about it. Top 16 or so teams, there's two quarterbacks we can debate. How good they are. I would only debate one. You want to debate the Cowboys, that's fine. And then in the bottom 16, there's only two or three that we can debate. Yeah, they are good. And obviously, Luck healthy is good. And obviously, Russell Wilson's good. So there's 3 out of 16. So it's almost like, tell me the quarterback, and I'll tell you how good the team is.
Yeah, should they win more or less than half their games? It's a pretty simple equation.
Yeah. Tell me if it's a good quarterback, and you're going to be right. Like 27 of the 32 teams.
Yeah, I mean,
we need to let him out here. He's got to go. RJ, okay. Appreciate the time as always. We will talk to you again next week, my friend.
Hey, one more minute, if you don't mind, Fred. I know I had the hard out, but
we're fine.
I want to give, just because AJ kind of dominated that segment, is I want to give Fred a chance. I thought, guys, honestly, we have some fun, and I'm just having fun with AJ. But Fred, I don't know how deep, Fred, you go every day in the horse racing, but on this podcast, it was like 55 minutes, deep dive, and he's the great broadcaster you know. So to me, it was a real joy. I was just trying to hold on and steer him in the right direction. And in the second part of the pod, we got last year's Triple Crown overview, not the individual races, but the theory on how to bet the Triple Crown. So combined, it's about an hour and a half, and man, if you want to get ready for the Derby, I think it's a great listen. At RJ in Vegas on Twitter, obviously up on Fred's Twitter. I think it's good stuff.
Yeah, I don't get to do that on this show. So RJ and I got into a lot of stuff that is very detailed. So I highly recommend it and go check it out. And it was fun to do. Always fun to do shows with RJ. And hopefully we'll get our pregame line going again football season. All right, man. We will talk to you again next week, buddy. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Yeah, it was fun for me to do that because, you know, I know it's a limited limited interest thing, but this is when people are interested, and it is fun.
It's the same way I nerd out on a big UFC event.
Right, and the cool thing about it is I'm not going to dive into those kind of things on the show. I mean, I'll answer a couple questions here and there and mention it and say, hey, I like this. But with that, I was able to do – there's a lot of the things that I did in the articles, too. I was able to get in even deeper than that with it, and it was a lot of fun. So if you get a chance, check it out. It's worth listening to, and you can hold off on listening to the second half, the Triple Crown thing, if you want until, you know, after the Derby.
Until that race comes up, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's about the whole thing, but I also get into the Preakness and Belmont, and most of the Derby stuff, if you just want to hear that. It's about 55 minutes. It's really good. I'll tell you what else is really good. Sherry's Berries.
Damn right.
Mom's going to want them.
Oh.
And
my wife's going to want them.
Yeah, well, you know what? Your wife's a mother.
I'm not even lying. I wish I was a mother so I could get some.
Well, you can, you know, you can probably get one.
That's
from
probably
her.
True.
And guys, if you really want to make her happy, you know, really want to do something for your mom or for if the mother of your children, any one of them, Sherry's Berries has you covered, man. It makes it look like you put a lot of thought into this and all you really did was listen to us. So it works out great. And right now, you can get fresh and delicious Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And for this week only, when you double the berries for just $10 or more, your gift will include something extra. Sherry's super popular dip caramel pretzel rods. I mean, that just sounds amazing. Your berries will arrive in Sherry's Berries signature gift box with a beautiful ribbon. No gift wrap required.
Yep, the strawberries are the same as always. They're massive. They're juicy. They're decadent. They're just awesome, man. You choose the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. This is a gift that your mom's going to feel like you put some real thought into. Only one way to get this great deal for mom. Freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And when you double the berries for just $10 more this week, your gift includes an extra decadent gift of dipped caramel pretzels. Mother's Day, May 13th. Visit berries.com today. BERRIES.com. Click on the mic in the upper right corner. Enter our code Fred and AJ. That's berries.com. Promo code Fred and AJ.